This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
It sure is, and we have got an absolute corker for you today. It's rolling out beautifully so far. We've got a plethora of fantastic guests, Jane Kennedy. How are you,
by the way? I'm good, Mickey Molloy.
We've got the PM, we've got Lawrence Mooney, we've got Julia Zemiro from Rock Quiz, which is back up and about.
We're going to look at the cricket saga. It continues in earnest. We've also got Animal Kingdom, one of my favourite segments.
Animal Kingdom.
And I've got a big warning for dog owners over Easter.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, careful of that. Also, one of my favourite psychological segments we have, Mick.
What's that?
We're quite expert at it. It's Between the Sheets.
Between the Sheets.
Yes, I've got a little bit of expert advice.
There's a bit of stuff going on in that segment today. We're going to look at brothels for blow-up dolls. And we're also...
Well, they'll be very cross with you. They're not blow-up. They're silicon, I'll have you know.
Well, pardon me, Your Majesty.
Big difference.
Well, now I'm back on board.
I've got entertainment news as well. Who bit Beyonce?
Yeah. Are they in this room? We will find out.
Be.
Dangerous Dave is looking very sheepish.
How dare you?
Gideon Haigh, of course, will be on to talk about the cricket, which you have discussed. There have been developments. Cricket Australia seem to be dancing around certain points, and we'll get to the bottom of
that. They sure do.
I may auction off my virginity, but we'll see how we go. There's lots going now on the big program today. Welcome to you, Jane Kennedy, and hello to you, Dangerous
Dave. G'day, guys. Welcome.
How are you going?
Only one more sleep, and I'm off to Adelaide, of course, to see the grand final replay for the Mighty Tigers, who are going up against the Adelaide Crows.
Now, I just have to get something straight.
Yeah.
Where are you watching again? The game from?
I'll be in the Hill of Grace restaurant.
And this is what this I'm is trying to get my head around.
Look, I'm a man of the people. I generally go out. I mean, shut up, Dave.
And what was the bill the last time you went there?
Oh, look, I don't know.
$14,000 from memory. How many for four bottles of wine,
wasn't
Dave?
Just me.
You
There was a few others in tow. It's
you
gotta be
a... are a snob.
No, I'm going to have some beers as well.
Yeah.
In the CUB box. And then I'll just get amongst it. It's going to be great. Big news coming out of Adelaide. Those Tex Walker... I think he's going to play, which would be great because he missed the grand final.
No, he didn't. He played last time.
Oh, did he? Oh, it's very hard to tell.
Really. Oh, you better watch your
bang. Let the games begin.
Look out.
Hey, coming up in the next break, we're going to talk to Gideon Haigh, of course, who I think is the foremost world's cricket writer at the moment.
And he's been very busy pounding out a few stories.
We've been trying to get him for days.
And we have been hoping to get him on the line.
He's been snowed under, I think, is the phrase you're looking for.
But I do want to hear what Gideon has to say. And there's just been a press conference. We'll bring you information
Three players have been sent home, and to think of being sent home from an international sporting event, the level of embarrassment and shame one
Well,
must
you
feel.
Should know. You
I
should
beg
know.
Your pardon?
You have, mate. Sorry.
Oh, you're unbelievable.
Let's just say, imagine the shame of being sent home from, like, your good self from an Olympic Games, no less.
Oh, not Vancouver again.
Oh, yeah, the Vancouver and Winter Olympic Games, you were sent home with your head bowed and your tail between your legs, Mick Molloy.
Twice.
What do you mean?
Well, I went back and then they sent me home again. Do you know my first understanding that I was in any strife was when I got off the airport in Melbourne? Oh, jeez.
What happened then?
To say the paps were out.
Oh. Really?
Hey, it was very good. We want to fly into this. We're gonna go to a song when we come back. We're going to play your highlights from the press conference, yes. Cricket Australia, and get straight into Gideon Haigh.
Okay, great.
We'll bring us up to speed.
Huge.
Tell us where we are.
Show on the way. Julia Zemiro soon.
Home.
Welcome to
what a disgrace.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
Hey, guys, the big story of the day, week, month, year in the world of sport is, of course, the state of Australian cricket. Cricket Australia held a press conference today and no news came out of this. The most, distinctive feature was Cricket Australia Chief James Sutherland's inability to use the word cheat.
Well,
it baffled me. I said, no, we've packaged up a little grab from the press conference.
Okay. Did they cheat in your eyes? Is this cheating?
This is not in the laws of the game. It is not in the spirit of the game. And again, I am angry and disappointed.
Is it cheating?
It is not a good day for Australian cricket.
James, I noticed you wouldn't use the cheating word, but it wasn't cheating. What was it?
clearly we are not at all comfortable with what has taken place.
Can you just give us a yes or no answer? Is this cheating?
This is not in the laws of the game. It's not in the spirit of the game.
You haven't mentioned the word cheating.
Sorry, James has answered this question. Going to move on. Jeff? Jeff?
They broke the rules. Jeff? Is it cheating?
He's answered the question. He's answered it three times now. He's answered the question three times. We're moving on.
Comical. On the phone now, on the line from Sydney Airport, we have journalist for The Australian, Gideon Haig. Gideon, are you prepared to use the word cheat or cheating?
I'm quite happy to use it, but then again, my job's not on the line. So, yes, we once again, strange, you know, the players are always talking about this mythical line that they never cross.
Yep.
It's almost like the administrators have their own line, and beyond right. they will not move.
They will not move. Now, I know you're pressed for time, and I think that might even be your plane they're calling
Could
in the
be,
background.
Yes.
But there's a couple of questions I want to ask you. Firstly, is there a way back for the players in question here? We don't know what the sanctions are yet, but we're being told they're going to be substantial. Is there a way back for the players directly involved, and is there a way back for Australian cricket from this scenario?
Yeah, two different interesting questions. I still don't think we have the full facts of the matter. I think this is still being treated as an isolated incident. That's the that was another line from James's press conference today. So I'm not sure that we know quite the degree of culpability of the individuals concerned. We have a vague idea. It does seem as though David Warner's going to end up being scapegoated for it, and I'm not sure that's entirely appropriate. I think there are plenty of people bear responsibility in this scenario, and they've foreshadowed what they call a kind of a review of the dressing room culture of Australian cricket.
Yes.
We have no idea what that's going to look like. We have no idea what the outcome is. I'm not even sure the administrators know that. It's just a way of sort of playing for time. So I think as far as individuals are concerned, we need to know how that report treats them. As far as Australian cricket's concerned, well, this should actually be a salutary episode for us all. You know, I think everyone's kind of surprised. Part of us is kind of delighted that the public still care so much about their players, that they still feel
Correct.
This very strong proprietorship of the Australian side. It's almost like, you know, not in my name. You're
yes.
not going to play cricket that way if I have anything to do with it. And if anything, maybe it's going to work in reverse of the tradition. We've always talked about the way in which the Australian cricket team sets the example for the rest of the nation to follow. Maybe it's time for the Australian cricket team to follow the example that the nation sets for them, or the example that the nation's articulated.
Good
Very
call.
Nice.
Again, it requires a little bit of speculation on your behalf, but could you ever see a way that Steve Smith could become captain of Australia again, or is that beyond him now?
Well, he's young, and he's received a very salutary education in the responsibilities of his role, and I think part of him will be better for that experience. In some respects, he's a classic Australian captain in the sense that he is the virtuoso individual who's been raised to office, not because he has any particular leadership qualifications, but because he's the best player in the team. We've always done it that way, and we've always relied in a way on the individual to learn on the job. In some ways, Steve Waugh was the same when he took the role. And he took a couple of years at least grappling with it to work out, you know, all the responsibilities in terms of blending a dressing room, drawing people to closer together, kind of finding totems to rally around.
Mm.
No one drops into the Australian captaincy like a penny into the slot. In a way, it would be a mistake if that experience was wasted. You know,
sure.
In some ways, I look upon this as a crisis too good to waste.
Gideon, Coach Darren Lehman has apparently, or at this stage, been cleared of any wrongdoing, but a lot of people are not buying that. Mm. KP, for example, on his Instagram or Twitter today, put about 100 laughing emojis.
Yes. There's a bit of mirth at the idea that he knew nothing.
Yes. What are your thoughts there?
Well, if he did know nothing, then he wasn't doing his job either.
If he was
that out of touch with what was happening under his very nose, and here he is leading this enormous support staff. You know, there are more support staff on this tour than there are actual players. What are they? Right. What are they doing all day?
Okay.
They're that detached from the from
and
from
very
the
small area that they're all gathered together as well. That's it's right. Not like they're big whopping rooms.
No, exactly. And you know, everyone knows that this is a grey area in the game's kind of practice, daily practice.
Sure.
And the players, if they're kind of if people don't understand where what their responsibilities are, then it's the obligation of others senior to them to remind them from time to time. I think there has been a tendency just to egg the kind of players on to keep reinforcing this idea that, you know, we're a little bit cleverer than everybody else.
Sure.
And in fact, this has shown us up not just as a bit crass, but also pretty stupid.
That's the finding I'm looking for. I find this whole thing stupid.
It's been done so clumsily, so incompetently, and yet at the same time so sneakily. Mm. These are not qualities that we've ever identified with Australian cricket.
How do you think it compares to that terrible day on the SCG during the Victor Trumper Memorial Game when I bowled an underer to you on the last ball of the day? How does it compare?
I've never recovered from that.
Oh.
Yeah.
We better let you catch that plane. Thank you very much for your time today.
Right.
Great to talk.
And how are the Yarras looking at the moment?
We're back-to-back flags for the twos. So we're very happy about that.
I said the other day the biggest level of cheating at club level tends to be the outfield being mowed in the second week. That's as sophisticated as it gets. And of course, Gideon, amongst other things, is author of The Vincibles, my favourite sporting book in Australia.
Very kind of you. Thank you, Mick.
Okay, thank you,
mate.
See you. Appreciate your time.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Molloy. That's just my best guess.
Right now.
Mick and Jane, gone wild.
It's a bit domestically wild today.
Well, semi-wild.
Semi-wild, if you count dogs.
Come on, we love dogs.
I know, we love dogs. There's a few things going on now.
Dog related.
It's coming up to Easter, of course.
Where do you want to start?
Easter? I'm going to talk about hot cross buns. Which actually, we started getting hot cross buns in our house on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
They've been around for that long.
Right.
Here's one thing. You're sitting around and you want to give your dog a treat. Don't give them a flipping hot cross bun.
I will if I want.
No, you won't, because you'll kill your damn dog.
Oh, okay.
Listen to me. I'm vet
that's
Jane
information
today.
I was looking for.
Yeah. No, hot cross buns have got sultanas in them. They're one of a list of things that dogs can't eat. And they really, it's quite toxic for them. Did you know
that they can't eat
sultanas, grapes or raisins, including in desserts or in hot cross buns? So
really?
You look quite shocked.
I would have never have known.
There you go. There's a bit of a list.
What are they on the paleo diet?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know why it is, but there's
nuts. They can't eat nuts.
They can't eat nuts, especially macadamias.
Chocolate.
They're shocking. Chocolate. Onions and garlic, did you know that? It really plays havoc with their gastrointestinal insides.
Upset the dog's gastrointestinal.
Lollies, don't give a dog lollies, avocado or coffee products.
That's so everything I'd like giving my dog. I'm going to put a hamper together and give it to you.
I remember it was one of Mum's significant birthdays and my sister and I bought from a really fancy shop a chocolate cake. And we hid it in Dad's office, and it had all the curls of chocolate all on top of it. It was massive.
Yes.
And came to time to go and get the cake and bring it out, and all I just saw my sister come out, just went, "This is not good."
Oh, no.
That half was left, so we squashed it down.
Right.
Served it.
Well, the dog ate it.
Oh, no, the dog only ate half of it, so we served it. But we were more worried about the dog.
What about homework? Should they eat homework?
Dogs are allowed to eat homework. My dog ate my chicken sandwich I just prepared one day on the bench, and we've got the dog stealing ham off the bench on film.
Oh, you've told me that, you narc.
Surveillance.
You've CCTV footage, your dog. Well, I'll tell you, a dyke's dog's also like his steak. I was living with a guy, and let's be honest, we weren't travelling well at the time, and he had like a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
A Doberman. And we just went, bugger this, we really need something to eat. So we went and bought two steaks. we thought we, you know, so we put them on the fry pan,
yeah.
And we're going, oh, these are going to be beautiful. Mm. And from the, we're in the next room, and all of a sudden we hear,
no!
The dog has jumped up, which is clearly hungrier than us. Has jumped up and its nose is being cooked on the fry pan as it eats a steak.
No,
it's going.
That's terrible. I bet you vets are relating to that.
It woofed two steaks and burnt its nose and didn't care. I'll tell you what they shouldn't eat.
What?
Dope cookies.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Well, they shouldn't eat that.
You don't know any dogs that have done that, do you?
I do. Let's just say, what a hypothetical situation. No. Say someone from the entertainment industry had a dog called Buddy Boy. He was so cute.
He was white and
little
fluffy.
Buddy, he was a little white Maltese Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
Not a big system.
No.
Had a couple of guests staying with me. And when I get up in the morning, the two girls have gone back to Adelaide. Say, hi, Mick. Thanks for looking after. If you've been great. Left your little present. And all I can see is a piece of paper, some crumbs, and my dog lying on its back, looking at me, going,
no.
He was cooked. And then, you know, that afternoon I come home. Normally he's at the front door, scratching away, just waiting. Yeah, nothing. Up the hall, nothing.
Really?
Lying under the coffee table going, yeah, look after
yourself. Might have had the munchies, though, I would say. Probably need to go to Macca's Run. Look, one other thing that people, you know, with their dogs, I would love to bring my dog with me, but it's a bit big. But people have been bringing their dogs into work, but not anymore.
Well, not anymore. An email's gone round.
And
this is a sad
The powers that be in this building have said.
Can I read it out to you?
Yeah,
There's clearly been an incident. Hi, all. We've had an increasing number of pets being brought to work for late. We're going to have to ask everyone to refrain from bringing pets to the office moving forward. We have numerous staff members that have severe allergies. Oh, geez, I'd like to find out who that is. We have numerous staff members that have severe allergies, and we obviously have a duty of care. I hate that phrase. A duty of care to provide them with a pet-free work environment. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to give me a buzz. Oh, I won't.
That
is another death knell.
What's going on? I need a comfort dog. What do you call those dogs?
Yeah, support animal.
A support animal.
Blind. I need a
support animal to come and work with you every day. That is my excuse, and now I can't bring
this
the dog
This is rubbish.
In.
This is another nail in the Triple M coffin. When you can't bring your pets to work, let's have a pet day.
Let's have pet day.
Everyone bring a pet in. Right. You can bring your dog in.
Yeah.
How big's your dog?
Oh, you know my dog's very big.
I'm gonna ride a Shetland pony into work.
Bring in a pony.
I am.
I'm gonna bring in a goat. I'm going to bring in a goat too.
Bring in a goat? What are you going to bring?
Oh, the budgies? I can bring in my budgies.
Bring the budgies in. Why don't we have like a pet
I'm
going to
release
farm.
Some geese.
Yes, have them running around.
I'm
going to
release some geese.
Done.
And they're just going to run away around the...
We can just say it's for the show.
It's for the show.
It's for the show.
It's like a petting zoo.
Exactly.
We'll invite the kids in.
Who's allergic?
We'll just chuck raw meat around the joint.
Awesome.
Who's allergic to dogs? I don't know.
Never heard of it.
But people
James
bring
is looking a bit sheepish out there.
Yeah.
Look at that pasty little freak.
He claims it's not him. I want to know, though, do people...
Who?
Working dog, the company we've had for years, we call it that because we used to bring all our dogs to work. That's why it's called working dog.
Sent a couple to the farm, too, I think.
Oh. I did not. Dog you down.
Oh, the green
You'll
dream.
Make me cry and smack you on.
I was at the work, talking about working dogs when I was up in the Territory. I love the dogs in the Territory.
Oh, they're hard
so
working.
Ace. And the guys love their dogs. Even if they treat them a bit rough from time to time, they love them to death.
Yeah.
So they could all take them to work, but they couldn't take them to the pub. So this is about 20 years ago. I'm at the Catherine pub and all the blokes are inside. So there's about 40 blokes inside. So there's 40 dogs hanging around the front door. So they're all just lying around, mind their own business. You go to walk in, they all get up at the same time. Until a bloke opens the door and goes, oi! And they all sit down. Until that's the safest pub, no need for bouncers.
Yeah.
No one's getting in or out of that pub.
All the blue heelers on duty. On the Kelpies. Oh, look, do you take your dog to work? I want to know if the people in around
dog
Australia.
Person? Do you? Where do you work?
And
do you take your dogs to work?
We'd love to see a photo.
Help us out here.
Well, give us a ring. 1-333-53.
What's wrong with the world?
Why can't we bring our dog to work?
I did yoga class today with a dog.
Did you?
It was dry humping my leg.
Oh,
I think he didn't like my downward dog.
Showing its lipstick too. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Andrew, have you been allowed to take your dog to work?
I have, yes.
What's the story?
Well, I've got a recruitment business in Windsor, and I bring the dog in probably a couple of times a week.
Right.
And she's good to have around.
What
friendly,
kind of dog is
like
she,
it.
Andrew? What breed?
She's a Spanador.
What the hell?
Half Spaniel, half Labrador.
Oh, can you fight them? Or is she good at the fights?
No, she wouldn't go well, I don't think. But,
and do people like it? Does everyone else like it when you have the dog there, Andrew, in the workplace?
People love having her around, but look, I was driving home yesterday afternoon and she sadly took a dump in the boot of my car.
Why was she in the boot?
Well, it's a wagon.
Well, obviously you hadn't taken her out. They've got to have a routine going, Andrew.
I think she might have been a little bit crook.
Andrew. She's not the only one who's probably done that. Thanks for your call, Nick. Nick, you're a trackie mate. What's your story?
Oh, I had a staffie years ago, and she was in the cab with me for about 8 years.
Oh,
good stuff.
That's
and
great.
You said no more. What happened?
Oh, my son was born, and then I had to pick him up from daycare most days, so they changed the
dynamics.
Had to put the kid seat in the truck, so kid seat and the dog didn't fit.
All right, it was either or. It's a hard choice. Dog, newborn.
That's a hard choice for me. I had to make that
jury
too.
Is out. Colin, what happened to you, mate?
Hey, guys. Yeah, me and my missus used to go up to Heathcote.
Yep.
To a little pub there. It was a beautiful pub, and we took the pooch up because it's a dog-friendly pub.
Yep.
We go and walk down the road there to the bar, and there's a woman in there sitting in the front bar with a goat.
I like her style.
Poor old pooch didn't know what the hell to make of that.
Right. She wasn't the chef, was she? I hope.
Or what have been a curry goat.
As long as you saw the goat leave, I'll be happy with that.
They're lovely animals, goats.
I do like a goat. Yeah,
I do like a nice
love it.
Baby
I love it when a goat rams a child. You know when kids go in there? No, they don't know what's going on. Next thing you know, we're boof.
That's funny.
Straight off. That's a load of fun.
Hey, Graham.
Hi, guys.
Good. Tell us about your dog story. What's your dog tale?
Well, this goes back to what dogs shouldn't eat. My sister kept the top layer of her wedding cake.
Oh, yeah, that's a traditional thing to do.
Sure.
Yeah, wrapped up in the freezer for 10 years. And then got it out and was thawing it out on the kitchen bench in a way when no one was looking, the Irish wolfhound that she had.
I knew I saw it.
And ate the whole thing in one go.
Oh, my God.
That is typical of your Irish wolfhound.
Yeah.
It's a sneaky little backdoor wedding cake eating thief.
The guilty look on the face of an Irish
wolfhound.
Dirty,
rotten Irish wolfhound. And what was there, crumbs? Was it licking his lips? Did his stomach hurt? What happened?
No, it was all gone until a couple of days later there was a pile of cling wrap and some other material in the middle of the backyard.
A little figurine of a man and a woman slightly worse for wear.
Thank you, Graham. Got a prize for Graham there. That's a lovely story.
I love these stories.
Tickets to go see Jet. Graham, their Get Reborn tour coming, livenation.com.au to book them. Congratulations.
Good on you, Graham. Hey, Peter.
Hello.
You have a dog cafe, is this right?
Yeah, that's right. I've got Dog Cafe in Boronia.
Right. What do? What does that mean? You allow dogs to go there?
Dogs are allowed in. They get to socialise with each other. Their owners get to socialise with each other.
And do you serve any food for them?
Yeah. Heaps of treats, and we have Puppuccinos for them.
Puppuccinos?
What's that?
I'm not sure I can approve of this.
A Puppuccinos lactose-free milk up with a bit of carob on top.
Been an incident, has there?
That's amazing.
A Puppuccino.
And we have everything from tiny little dogs to massive Great Danes.
I give you joy to plug. Where is it? What's it called?
It's called the Dog Cafe in Boronia.
In Boronia.
And it's www.
That's in Melbourne,
in
obviously.
Victoria.
In Melbourne, yes. www.thedoggycafe.
Good on you, Peter.
What's the policy on dry humping? The dogs is that it? You're out.
We try not to let them.
The dog bouncer comes in and goes, "Oi, you out."
Yeah.
None of that.
That's the dog owners. Hey, Mitch, thank you for giving us a call. What do you take to work?
I was taking a parrot.
Good on you.
Really?
Is it Lippy?
How do you take your parrot into work, Mitch?
Where's your
talk
work?
Us through it.
I just put him on my shoulder and off we go to work.
And where's work?
I telecommunications.
So he could chip in. He could fill in for you when you're not there.
I'm training him to do that.
You've trained him to say everything you say so you can be down the pub while the parrot's sitting
That's
at your desk.
That's amazing.
What sort of parrot is it, Mitch, as a bird lover?
Oh, look out.
Saint Cognier.
That sounds fancy.
No, it's you. Dave's gone blank.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
And what do your co-workers think of it, Mitch?
Beg your pardon?
What do your co-workers think?
Some people are scared of birds, some of them, so they weren't too happy.
I'm going to bring a macaw in. Are you? I'm going to sit here with a macaw on
rip
my shoulder.
Face
that
off.
Yeah, well, may not.
Hey, last caller. Con's on the line. Con, what's the dog?
Yeah, look, it's a boxer. I used to work
I love a boxer.
Me too.
Company. It would come in every day with a manager, and it would fart every day.
Oh, crikey.
On the hour, we used to tell time by this boxer, and I'll tell you what, it was an absolute stinker working there.
Well, that owner's got to change the dog's diet. Yeah, I don't know what's chomping down on, but...
That owner's getting cover from his dog.
I think so too. Thank you, Con.
Well done, everybody.
Nice. Lovely stories.
Keep them coming through on social
too. We like it.
At Kennedy Malloy on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
Good
job.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Julia Zemiro loves music. Whether it's the 8 years she spent hosting Eurovision...
Let's face it, it's the happiest night of the year.
...more than a decade of Rockwiz.
The show that is proud to remind you that Frank Zappa's Jazz from Hell had an explicit lyrics warning sticker on it in America, even though the album is entirely instrumental.
Or belting out Pat Benatar as a contestant on It Takes Two. She's a theatre sports queen. Been in movies, hosted numerous shows, including The Excellent, Home Delivery, and is fluent in French. So, bienvenue à Julia
Zemiro. Well, there you go.
Bienvenue, Julia. C'est possible de parler en Mick Malloy.
Oui, un peu de français. Très bien, Jane.
Merci beaucoup.
Je voudrais une Heineken.
You would like a Heineken.
I would like a Heineken.
Good.
I can order a beer in 50 countries.
That's all you need.
It's or the more informal,
welcome
je veux
along.
Heineken.
Très bien.
I've had a couple. Now, something made you flinch in that opening, and I wanted to know what it was. Was it the Pat Benatar? Everything
been,
else you were pretty
two.
Cool.
Of course it would have been. Look, it takes
But
two.
You can sing, Julia, and we see that.
That was my argument, Jane. My argument was that I could sing, but it was the most extraordinary experience. I was not able to harness my nerves.
Oh, I can understand that. When you're doing something for reels and not when you're mucking around.
You're a fearless performer. I've seen you on stage many times. You do theatre sports. I'm not buying this.
I know. Well, I didn't. I'm not either. I was surprised. And I think that I found it so overwhelming. And they kept putting us in really sort of uncomfortable clothes you didn't want to wear and really high shoes. And when I was in the high shoes, I said to them one night, look, can I just dance? Can I sing barefoot, because I think I'll just feel a bit more grounded. They're like, no, occupational health and safety, you can't do that. Well, at the last minute, because it's live, I took those shoes off.
You live on the edge.
I didn't care. And I did much
better. It's like a wardrobe malfunction in the downstairs department.
But on purpose.
Utterly and it happened.
On purpose.
How many years has Rockwiz now been?
I love Rockwiz.
Me
can
too.
I declare my bona fide? I just think this is one of the great shows, one of the great offerings, and especially in the world of music on TV.
It's a happy show, too. It makes me happy, and I love seeing people's unbelievable knowledge of bands. Yes. It's so exciting to watch.
Well, I started the show when I was 37.
Yes.
And I'm now 50. So it's been going a long time.
And you're very honest.
Well, what wouldn't you be?
It's on would just say that. Yeah. I don't tell world. Anyone.
Jane won't admit she's 72.
I don't tell anyone my age. Well, I just feel like people will find it out at some point.
Of course.
You know, at least you can control that to a degree if you announce it. But the band will say they started the show in their 40s and they're now in their 50s. But it's
Well, you do a fabulous job. That's what we love. We love seeing you do it. You're fabulous with your guests. And it's great to see live music on the television because there's not a lot of places now that you can see bands.
No, you can't even see them in Sydney in actual venues. They won't let you in past a certain time.
That's right.
It's so bad.
That's no good.
It's so bad.
Have you had a word to them about that?
Oh, every night I'm up and down.
They've killed live music.
Streets of the Cross.
Haven't they? It's
King
terrible.
Street, Newtown. But we still provide that on TV. We're still in negotiations with SBS if we come back this year. But there are, repeats you can find. But the thing is, people say, there's no, live music on TV, and we think we've been providing that for 12 years.
Well, about to embark on a live tour, I believe. You can't announce that. It's getting close.
At the end of the year, it'll come. The dates will come soon for everyone in the country.
But you've got a really, really good Friday underway. You're down in Melbourne at the Hamer Hall, the Arts Centre.
Correct.
What can we expect? The usual Rockwiz hoo-ha?
The whole kit and caboodle. But it's
Brian Nankervis?
Brian Nankervis.
I love Brian.
Yes.
So do I.
You're joking. The most patient man in the world.
Bob Franklin, I hear. Was he? Can I name him?
Yes, you can, absolutely. So what we normally do, so it's a normal Rockwiz show, but bigger and, you know, louder and a bit naughtier, possibly. And because it's Comedy Festival, we feature a couple of comedians. And we've done this for, this is our third year doing a really, really good Friday. So this year we've got Bob Franklin and Gillian Cosgrove. They'll be doing, you know, 10, 15 minutes of their best.
Well, that will be excellent.
Pound for pound, Bob Franklin is as funny as any man in this country.
I know. It makes me laugh so much.
Can't wait. I haven't seen him, you know, in the flesh in a while. And music-wise, we've got Paul Dempsey is going to be on the show. Awesome. Jackie Maleri, a wonderful new performer called Alex the Astronaut. I'm going to be there. Whether I crack out a tune, I don't know, Jane.
I think you might have to. Come I think on. It's mandatory.
Some
it won't
Pat
be the
Benatar.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, hit me with you.
Now, you've got a million shows up and running. I want to ask you about Julia Zemiro's home delivery. When?
Where, how?
Yeah.
Finished filming all
Yes, we did. We did it in September, October, November, December last year. We went to England.
Can
we
you give me
three,
some names?
But no, I can't.
As if
I'm going to give you names.
Can you give us an exclusive soon? Yes. Like a minute.
No, well, unfortunately, ABC goes, no, I want to be able to go. But they're very different. There's three English people. There's one English person I've worked with before, and we've gone back to his home. I can't. I'll get into so much trouble.
Suggs.
You know what? I would love to do Suggs from
I met Suggs' mum. She's amazing.
Is she really?
Yes, she's the publican at a place called the French House in Soho. We got to know each other very well because I was
there
a lot.
What a surprise. She's at a publican.
Now, we're talking about quiz shows and doing that. We thought we might do our own quiz.
We're going to put you under the pump.
Do you know what I mean? Every time I come on any show, they'll have a secret quiz that they all have out of nowhere. And I'm delighted.
But
I'm ready
you know
for
what?
Anything.
You won't. It's really tough. Dave's put it together. It's the Triple M. I'll run the open.
Okay.
From one of the sacred sites of Aussie rock and roll, the Kennedy Malloy Studios, welcome to Triple M's Rock Whiz.
Yes.
This is going to be really hard.
Yes.
Are you going to run proceedings,
I've
Dave?
I've got the questions here, Julia.
He's
good
our
luck.
He's music man. Yeah. I'm ready.
Throw Let's out go. Some prizes as well. Okay, question number
really?
One.
Okay.
The drummer from Nirvana went on to start his own band called what?
Foo Fighters.
Hooray!
Wow. He broke
his Correct.
Leg.
We're away. Question
got a ding?
Two.
There's the ding.
Bing.
There you go.
The documentary maker for the music doco Sound City also fronts which band?
Oh, mate, I don't know. John Paul Young.
Oh.
That's so wrong. Yeah, of course. It's
that
wrong.
Was Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters.
Oh, see what you're doing there.
Question
that's
three.
That's the studio that he took over because he was sad it was closing down. And
Yes.
We knew you know. Yeah.
Right, here's another one for you.
Alanis Morissette's touring drummer from the 90s left to join which band?
Foo Fighters.
Yes.
Nirvana. That other guy. Dave Grohl.
More questions to come. Question four. Who sings this song?
Barbra Streisand. No, it's Dave Grohl. Don't be stupid.
Foo Fighters. Oh. And final question. Jane Kennedy's first rock interview for the Triple M Network was with which band?
I watched it. It was with Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl. Yes. And he told the longest anecdote in the world and we thought it would never end.
Hey, Dave, you've got one for me? Just before we go, have you got one for me? Make it a real hard one.
Okay. Finish this band's name. Foo.
Ooh. I know this.
It's for the...
Don't help.
It's for the car.
Fighters?
Fighters!
Yay! Yeah. Well played!
Well, we feel right at home here now.
Thank you so much, Julia, for playing our own Rock Whiz.
My pleasure.
By the way, tickets on sale at artcentremelbourne.com.au. That is Rock Whiz Really, Really Good Friday.
Yes.
Good Friday.
I love it.
Thank you. Keep singing
Malloy.
And dancing, everyone.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, you were pretty good in that quiz there, Dave. Good questions. Well
appreciate
done.
Appreciate that. No worries.
Just out of interest, where did you start again? I can't remember where you started.
Which, what?
Well, in radio.
Music-wise, because you're a music guru.
Well, I started in radio in 1992 at 2LM Lismore, North Coast of New South Wales. What?
Not according to your Wikipedia page.
What do you mean? Oh, what have you done?
Oh, well, I was going to say.
You must
you
do
know
what
how,
we ask you to do here.
Mate, I just...
What?
Well, it's just I've had a look at your Wikipedia page,
righto,
and to
on.
Me, it's not what.
No, I think we better have
said.
A listen.
Have a listen. I'll get. Should I get Siri to?
Yeah,
do
I think you better do the Siri.
Siri,
answer.
Please read out Dangerous Dave's Wikipedia page.
Okay, here is what I found. Dangerous Dave is an extremely talented, much loved, and respected radio announcer on Triple M, oh. Hobart.
Oh, no. No, not. Sorry, Siri.
No. Mick, you've got to be more specific than that.
Sorry, Siri. Not him. The other one.
Okay. Dangerous Dave Williams is a fraud who stole his on-air moniker from a hard-working Tasmanian DJ. Dave is currently the anchor of the Kennedy Malloy Drive show, where he is known as the Team Diva, constantly requiring his skinny dick a flat white to be reheated in the microwave by an underling. He is most known for his radio work. However, it is his time on the mic as a spruiker of men's jocks and socks at Meyer in Ballarat that is considered the high point of his presenting career. Everything else has fallen short. Many have questioned the nickname Dangerous, for a man who grazes budgies, is obsessed with his rain gauge, loves outer space, and drives a teenage girl's car. How he has managed to find a wife and have kids whilst maintaining these hobbies is beyond comprehension for the general public. Oh, and he is bald and can't grow a convincing beard.
That's really hurtful.
God,
Siri.
I tell you, I know Siri's really tough these days.
Siri's all over it.
Siri's done us all badly, I think.
I think I got away with it. I still sounded kind of interesting. Yeah. You guys.
You reckon?
You'd have a good look. Yeah. Look at yourself.
Next.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And what a monstrous hour it promises to be. Question, without notice, who bit Beyonce?
Oh, I've got to find this out. It's killing me.
Up. Someone bit her.
There's a few. There are a few contenders for that. Angelina Jolie may or may not have partnered up.
With who?
I'm going to tell you.
Hang around.
I've got all the gossip on that.
There's going to be a virginity auction. Here in this studio, it could be mine. We don't know for sure, but no, there's been one, hasn't there?
There has been one. It's a new thing.
And quite pricey too.
Very pricey. Ooh, we're getting right up there.
I put in a phone bid.
And what is your favourite body part on people?
Oh, don't ask our next guest. Well, maybe we will when he gets here. We've got Lawrence Mooney coming down the pipe, but before that, why don't we get straight to him? This country's leader, and in times of trouble, you need strong leadership. During the darkest day in Australian sporting history, and when we look to the heavens, we look to leadership, which has been lacking in cricket, we wonder what the great man's thinking. Please welcome to the studio, it's the PM.
Well, it's very nice to be here in what has become the darkest week in Australian
sport. That's extended to a week.
I mean, it's not exactly the week where Herb Elliott stopped in the 10,000 metres before the Melbourne Olympics to help a young Ron Clark to his feet.
No, it's not that, is it?
True,
no, it's not that.
It's
not the way Jai Taurima had a cigarette before he did the long jump.
Right.
I mean, that was...
It's not Australia 2 crossing the finish line to a land down under.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Makes you misty eye, doesn't it? Well, I got stuck right into them.
Well, but hang on. The wing kill, though, could be considered cheating.
Mm.
Do you think that's
cheating?
No, it wasn't. There was
very
I call it cheating.
There's a formula. There was a formula, girth by width. Area.
Yes, but it wasn't in the spirit of the America's Cup, which was to keep
But they weren't picking.
I think you're talking to someone who knows about sailing here, Mick.
There's one sport I know, Michael, it's the yacht. I only get involved in sports where poor people can't afford it. Rowing, yachting,
golf,
of course.
Mr. Turnbull.
Though there are public courses and there's awful people down there, poorly dressed. You can't play around in a flip flop. Now, I got stuck right into them because, first of all, it's un-Australian what they did.
What was that? It was a little flourish?
It was a little... it was my whip hand. I call it the whip. You will have seen me in the parliament. I do the whip hand. I sometimes do the auctioneer. I sometimes do the chopper. Sometimes do the... I do the horn.
That's the nut bush.
Double horn. Yes. And sometimes do the pyramid when I'm trying not to say... Barnaby.
All right, well, no, that's still an ongoing thing. We'll find out
more
ramifications. How do you celebrate Easter? Because it's coming up, Good Friday on Friday. What do you do with Lucy and the family?
Well, before I move on to Easter, I just want to say I got stuck right into the Australian cricket team because it's un-Australian. Yeah. They actually damaged our national psyche
they
because we really consider ourselves a sporting nation, and plus I seized the opportunity to bury the 29th news poll. So I couldn't have been happier when they started.
Yeah. One
get
more
the
to
sandpaper
go.
Out. Get the router out on that ball. I don't know. Dig up the pitch.
Cheese grater, please. One more.
One more.
One more. What happened?
Is that a record?
Dude?
Well, nothing.
Well, no, it equals Tony Abbott's.
And oh. I said so much else.
Said Prime Minister famously.
Yeah, I know.
At 30, said enough.
Unemployment low, inflation low, growth, jobs, growth and jobs, jobs and growth. That's all I'm saying. Now, Easter. I am a Catholic. Easter is very much about the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's about redemption.
It is.
It's also about chocolate.
Will you be doing the Stations of the
long
Cross
weekend.
Following
I will
that?
Be doing the Stations of the Cross. The
What's that mean?
The whole Passion. The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. The Passion of the Christ.
The 14 Stations
of the
Cross.
You follow the station, someone carries
he
a cross around.
It on.
He carried a cross.
Jesus bunged
Christ.
It on.
He
Jesus bunged it on a bit.
Well, I'd like to see you wear a crown of thorns and be scourged at the pillar, Michael.
But you know what I did one year? My mum said to me once, she goes, Michael, just once, why can't you get into the spirit of Easter? So I went out the backyard and nailed myself to a cross. Are you happy, Ma? Look at me now, Ma.
Oh, dear.
Top of the world, Ma. No, what happens? We normally get some
what's
friends
the Stations
over.
Of the Cross?
The Stations of the Cross, the 14 Stations of the Cross from when Jesus was...
Nailed to the cross and then had to make his way to when he...
Well, he carried the cross before he was nailed to it.
And how many stations
there's 14.
14 stops, mate.
Count me
out. He falls, he's whipped.
Let's go to the end. What's the last stop?
Easter Bunny. Easter Bunny collecting eggs, I think.
See, it's got a happy ending.
Got a happy ending. They stab Jesus and then all the chocolate just pours out of him. The kids gather around and go, wow, it's amazing.
That's a good Easter.
Now, see, that's what I'd go and see. Why don't they have that anymore?
That was. I don't think Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ had no chocolate.
I'm sorry. I've
had a caramel centre.
No.
But what else? Will you do something on Easter
Sunday?
Well, we have
a fondue party for the neighbours.
Really?
You have that anyway.
We have a lovely fondue party and they come over and we gather around and then I get smashed on Sangiovese and I end up passing out on the couch wearing bunny ears. But it sounds like an orgy. It is. It goes right off.
Well, there you go.
We get our bloke over.
You get your
our mate.
All right. Well,
we did nail someone to the cross one year.
Who's that?
It was hilarious. Scotty Cam comes over and he's always got a nail gun and puts one up in the back garden.
Hey, by the way, Happy An Evening Easter. With Malcolm Turnbull can be seen at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and the Sydney Comedy Festival at the Enmore. Details at lawrencemooney.com. Lawrence, after this.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Lawrence Mooney in the studio.
Lawrence.
As well.
It's very nice to be here. What an unseasonally warm day it is in Melbourne.
Right.
And in other parts of Australia as well, because I know you're spreading across this wide
we
brown land.
Indeed. Well, is that why you're dressed like the Prime Minister?
I'm dressed like the Prime Minister because I will shortly be the Prime Minister at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But right now, I'm my own man,
from that,
Michael.
It's very nice to see men in suits. And I know it's not every day. So, Mick, you were in a suit last week because were you going to court or something? Are you doing?
Did the charges stick, Mick?
No, but you did have a suit on last week, and it's quite
so when I try a suit on, I try the jacket on over my head. Mm. this one. I like
that
this
look?
One.
But it does. It's very dashing,
Thank
I
you very much.
Say, yes.
I'm looking forward to Easter because I love the Easter Bunny, but I went and saw a little bit of a bunny movie.
Oh, yes.
Last weekend.
What are you talking
Not
about?
Playboy bunny movie.
Peter Rabbit.
Oh, yes.
That kind
Peter
of bunny.
Seen that sound.
Beatrix Potter's.
Oh, so this is old school English.
Have you heard of Beatrix Potter, Mick?
Yes, I'm aware of Honey the Pooh.
Oh,
Far out.
Honey
no.
The Pooh. Winnie the Pooh?
Nothing to do with
That's
Beatrix
Milne,
Potter.
Honey the Pooh is a different movie.
It's not. We're not talking about Winnie the Pooh.
I like
Shut
Paddington
up.
Too.
Shut up.
Anyway,
it's Peter Rabbit.
So it's Peter Rabbit, and we were all brought up with those Bunnikins plates with Peter Rabbit in his little blue jacket.
It's Peter Rabbit
getting in adventures and trying to escape Farmer McGregor. So Maggie said, "I want to go along and see it," and we took her gold class. So she was wrapped.
How old's Maggie again? She's
5 years old.
Oh, that's
She'll never
the
go
perfect
back.
Age.
Never go back.
No, and neither do we want to. But it was Sunday morning, so there's
lovely.
A lot of parents letting their kids run amok as they're just
free range
slamming beers and wines.
At 9 in the morning.
Yeah. It's terrific. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. Our own Rose Byrne plays Beatrix Potter.
Oh, lovely.
And it's a bit of an adult love story as well in there. There's plenty of adult jokes as
It's animated though, isn't it?
Is Margot
it is.
Robbie
well, how does she
in
play
it too?
Oh, you mean she's the voice?
Yeah, no. There's humans alongside the animations, like you know,
They do that now in the movies, Mick.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
It's a waste of Rose.
Anyway, Rose Byrne was, it was terrific. Towards the end, and the rabbits, I've got to say, are very lifelike. Towards the end, Maggie goes, I've really got into it. Maggie goes, no, it's not the same, loud in the cinema. Oh. And it's not the same. She goes, Benjamin Bunny, where's his green hat? Oh. Now, he's got his brown jacket on, but no green hat in the movie. And she looks across me, where's his green hat? I said, I don't know, sweetheart.
Daddy, I want a green hat on the rabbit.
Yeah, I know, Veruca Salt. Yes. I want another champagne and a tiny hot dog for $75. Where's his green hat? Get me a pony. Get her a pony. Get her a pony.
Get her a pony.
Get her a bloody pony.
Yeah. Get her a pony.
And, green
and then she goes, where's Peter's backpack? I said, I don't know. She goes, Peter's got a backpack.
Oh, my God.
And then she goes, where's Mr. Todd? Mr. Todd's meant to be, because he's the fox, meant to be hunting the rabbits. He's a
big job.
Nowhere to be seen.
He's nowhere to be seen. He has a cameo in a party at the beginning, and there's an adult storyline where
not good.
Mr. Todd passes out and they shave him with a shaver. It's his Bucks night. that is not Beatrix. Beatrix Potter never shaved a fox.
I'm actually interested in seeing this film
but
now.
But don't you reckon that's the classic stance of someone who's read the book and always likes to make you feel bad when you see So this starts, good
she
to know this
five.
Starts at this age.
Oh, that's right. She's showing off to other five-year-olds. Oh, it's nothing like the book. I tell you, this is appalling.
So when this rabbit, is it Brer Rabbit?
It's Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit. You mentioned the farmer, and this is what annoys me about these. They demonise the farmers a lot in these children's stories. It's always a bad farmer. You never see a good, gentlemanly, happy father who helps. You know, farmer who's there for you.
Well, I tell you what, this farmer doesn't.
I know they kill. He has all the animals.
He has traps.
Let's push the traps.
But the rabbits trick him into his own traps. I tell you what this farmer needs.
So it's open season on the farmer.
Yeah, so the farmer ends up, electrocute the farmer, they humiliate
that
the farmer.
Sounds fun.
The farmer ends up dying of a heart attack, by the way. What this farmer needs.
Spoiler alert. Squeeze me.
The farmer needs is a massive shotgun to blow those rabbits off the face of the earth.
As it's generally done.
Anyway.
That would have been a great end to Watership Down.
You know a lot of rabbit movies.
You know a lot.
Prayer Rabbit, Watership Down. As it turns out, it was made in Australia.
It was made in Australia, this movie, Mick.
Oh, yeah, because Rose Byrne's in it. Also, our friend Dave Lawson plays
a friendly Englishman in a hardware shop.
Margot Robbie in it, wasn't she? Was
Margot
she
Robbie's the voice of Cottontail.
Oh, it's only a voice.
So that's what I'm saying. Again, a waste of Margot Robbie.
Well, that is a waste of Margot Robbie.
But that rabbit hadn't. That rabbit was pretty hot.
Had big paws.
But it was very clear.
Rabbit doing nude scene.
That rabbit in a G-string looks all right. It was very clear that it was shot in Australia because some of the rabbits had mixo, so they just had really pussy eyeballs. Just had lost their
minds. So will you go back or what happened? I mean,
Gold Class.
Did she storm out? Or?
No, she said she liked it, but it wasn't right.
Wasn't true to
gave it, I reckon she was 3 stars, but I'd pump it up. I loved it.
Yeah, you were probably blind drunk after all the flipping martinis you've pounded.
I was just lying on the garbage going, what's going on? This makes no sense.
All right. Well, thank you for swinging by.
No worries.
It's another beautiful movie review and for bringing the PM.
That's my first movie review
and
ever.
And spoiler alert too, by the way.
Can we plug something? What are you doing? Are you performing tonight?
Yeah, the Comedy Festival, A Night with Malcolm Turnbull, or A Night with Malcolm. We can't use his full name.
And you'll also be at the Sydney Comedy Festival at the Enmore Theatre on May the 4th.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. So
I love the Enmore. It's one of my favourite theatres.
If you're in Sydney or Melbourne, get tickets. They're selling fast. And
and go out for a great night out.
I've got to say, on behalf of Melbourne, good on you.
And you be careful. I hear you might be out in the tear tonight.
So. Yeah, I reckon.
give him a wide berth. If you see him and in the Melbourne area, give him a wide berth.
Or not.
I like to follow the path of Jesus and the stations of the cross. I want to be crucified on Friday.
And spend 3 days in bed.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy. Close the curtains. Fluff up the pillows. Lock the kids in their room. It's time to get sexy. Mick and Jane. Between the sheets.
Okay, here we go. It's been a while since we've done this, but...
we've got to make sure there's not too many pillows on the bed because Mick doesn't like that, apparently.
Well, I think it's a guy thing, isn't it?
Well, girls like it.
What's how many's enough? How many's enough?
I don't know.
It's five.
We love our cushions.
Two each.
A UK... Okay. What? A 26-year-old woman in a rather disturbing, dare I say it, trend...
Yes.
...has sold her virginity... to a Hollywood actor for $1.93
million. $1.93
million.
She's 26. Yes. That's fair. She's,
well,
that?
It's not in many
she
cultures.
She can value for money?
In many cultures, it's perfectly acceptable to wait until you're 26.
Mm.
It's a website called Cinderella Escorts. Doesn't that sound dreamy?
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's...
1.9.
1.9.
You're 26. I'm doing the sums.
Yes. Apparently, the actor who bought her, we don't know who it is, outbid a German businessman.
Scott Baio.
Oh, Scotty B.
Oh, sorry, your pen
pal. Yeah, we're mates, if you don't mind.
Baio. A German businessman missed out, and so did a Manchester United football player.
I was an underbidder. I was bidding on the phone. I wasn't so much bidding, I was just breathing heavily.
Creepy.
This is so weird. She's really, really excited, and she said...
She's just doing 1.9 million smackaroonies.
But she said, it's so amazing. I love my decision to sell my virginity, and I think every girl would do the same in my position rather than give it to a man she later on nevertheless would break
Sipkowitz,
up with.
It's Sipkowitz.
So she's pretty damn gorgeous, I have to say. So, is this a new direction that young women feel? And also, P.S., how do we know she's...
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't want to go into that world.
She's really bad at it.
There's no such thing, surely.
By the way, girls, I'm putting my virginity up.
Oh, terrific.
For auction. Mm-hmm. Right. Feel free to give me a call.
All right.
Yeah. Lines are open.
1-333-5353.
Good luck with that. Obviously.
No calls coming.
No one's around.
That's not going to happen. So there you go. There's a bit of between the sheets news there.
Well, I like it a lot.
All right.
I think it's a good trend. Keep going. It means you get something for it. You save up. It means something. You know when to pull the trigger on that stuff. You can go to a good auction
house. So it's not
like,
for love. It's like not for Christie's. A great experience.
Oh,
it's
come
just...
on. You all like to bung that on, but let's be honest. You all make a deal with the devil
I am
in the
making.
End.
I am not bunging it on. Yeah, please stop calling, by the way, if anybody's calling.
Line one, you can hang up now.
And P.S., I think that train's long gone, by the way.
Yeah, well, hang on, we'll get a number.
No, we won't.
Get a number. Okay, if you're heading to Paris.
Six pack, I'll give it to you for six pack. Six pack.
If anybody's
pack heading. Pack of the fags. Jewels.
Can you listen to this? Because I think your ears might prick
up. I'll give you half price. I'll give you half price. No doggy.
Tell me when you're ready.
I'll throw in a 69er. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave you hanging on that one. That's really ridiculous now.
Well, I'm just trying to get a deal going. Two for one. Let's have a three.
Wait. No,
well,
stop.
I'm just trying to drum up a deal here.
Between the sheets.
Thank you. Let's go to Paris.
It's on the phone. Look.
Let's go to Paris.
Oh, okay. What are we doing there?
We're going to go to France's first sex doll brothel.
Yeah. Of course.
So they've got these three dollies. They are silicone dolls. And amazingly, they're built like sexy women, but they're not real because they're dolls, okay? All you freaks. They are flipping dolls.
Hang on, don't be so judgmental. Listen.
They are dolls.
It's a sex doll brothel.
Yes, so you can go in and there's a madame of the brothel and she goes.
Is she real?
Willkommen. She's real and she's not so hot. Trust me, I've seen the vision.
Oh.
And she's really cranky and she goes, what do you want?
Cranky,
come in.
Because there's dolls getting more action than her. That's why she's cranky.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
People go in and they walk in a room and there's a doll lying on a bed in lingerie.
Oof.
But remember, she's not real, okay?
It's a doll.
And the madam says, do whatever you want. So I'm giving that the big thumbs down. It's really revolting. Yeah. And apparently they've got them in Spain. Yeah. They're starting to open up everywhere.
They don't have cords in the back. So because the last thing I want to do is have to put up with any chat. They don't talk, do they?
So compelled to walk around right now.
And glass
you or do something to you.
Do you know what I'd like?
No, actually, I don't want to know.
I'll tell you what I
don't want to know.
A cabbage patch sex doll. That would be. Imagine going to a cabbage patch
brothel. What's wrong with you?
Well, Just trying to think outside the box.
Horrible. All right. What's happening?
I'm going to move. Segment.
Clean this up.
Where's my whisper?
All right.
Where's my whisper?
Between the sheets.
Hello.
Next minute, I'm going to be talking about something like this. Are you ready?
I'm ready. What are you doing now? What do you got?
Science tells us this is women's most attractive facial feature. Can you guess what it is? I'm talking the face. What do you think is the number one that comes up time and time again? Dave, you're nodding like knowingly.
I know
a man
it is.
Who knows what he's talking about.
Eyes.
What? Ba-bow.
Oh, what?
Mick,
well,
there's not many bits left.
I'm going with a massive conch. Like can't be the nose. I'm going to go the lips. It's got to be the lips.
It's the lips.
Or cheeks.
Oh. It's the lips, and hence lipstick, hence traditionally over the millions of years of evolution and even in the days of Egypt, the days of, you know, long, long ago.
You've lost control of your own
segment. Lost control. Between
the sheets. Well, I've done my best to keep
you
this on the rails.
I have not kept it on the rails at all.
What
anyway,
does that surprise you, Jane? Did you think that
it
that
does.
Would be,
I had no idea that I should have been getting my lips pumped all these years
and
taking a leap out of all these women.
Girls going out looking like they've been punched in punched in the mouth half the time.
Those women all on Married at First Sight.
What's that girl?
Exactly. Lisa Rinna.
Jeez Louise. Yes. Like she's walked into a door.
But men like red lipstick apparently. Do you like red lipstick or do you want au naturel? I've got to know this secret.
I like that kind of wrinkly top lip when you've smoked 50 cigarettes a day for the last 30 years. That really does it for me.
You just make me so uptight sometimes. Hey, I would like to know what there's got to be other parts besides lips.
Can I tell you what?
Does that
be the face or can we go the whole body?
All right, let's go the whole body. What kind of man are you?
Oh, cankles. Hi-fi.
So you're no fun
to play with.
That's just stupid.
Okay, do you know I've got a friend of mine who is totally feet.
Really?
And he's not like a pervert or anything. He's just a normal guy. But he goes, the first thing he looks at is a woman's feet.
That's
bang.
Bull.
Right, when I go around to his place, I pop Ugg boots on my girlfriend. Because I know what he's up to.
No.
He's downskirting.
No.
He is downskirting.
I'm not buying that.
I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making that up.
Is someone's feet.
Someone's feet. Girl, if that's feet, that is a deal breaker for him.
You sure it's not you?
No, I could name him, but he appears on the show occasionally.
Oh, don't name him. He appears on the show.
Nah, you're working out. Old Petrocelli over there.
Nancy Drew.
All right.
Tell us what your favourite
body
part
is. I think this is a good topic.
Yeah.
153. Girls and boys, what's the feature
See,
that gets you across
so
the line?
You're also self-absorbed. You never even
Find
ask
out.
Me.
This is a poll.
You never ask
poll.
Me.
Oh.
Oh, no, what's too late now. Oh.
I think that chip sailed, hasn't it? What you got? Five kids out there.
Favourite body part, 133.
All right, last on our return.
Kennedy Malloy.
Last on our return.
Shut up.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Never ask me what
all
I
right,
like.
All right, Jane, let's get this out of the way, shall we, so we can all move on, clear the minds.
Well, there's a few things.
We're talking about what part of the body is it that gets you going, gets your juices flowing, turns you on in the downstairs department.
A big, hard chest.
Not pecs.
All right. Do you want me to put my shirt back on now? A big hard chest, you say?
Big, well, tall, like hard chest.
Rock hard.
Like a Chippendale.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like one of those dancers where they've got no pants on, no top, and then just a bow tie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is that the look?
Yeah, I'm happy to take anything these days.
All right.
As you said.
Just bear that in mind if you've got a
I've got a bit of baggage.
Oh.
What, emotionally, mentally, or?
No.
Okay, Maddie.
Hi.
Hi, Maddie. Sorry to bring down the mood. Maddie, someone take you seriously. Maddie, what is it? Is it men or women that you're interested in?
Men.
Men. And what's the body part that does it for you?
It has to be calf muscles.
Hello.
Maddie.
You've come to the right place.
Oh, my God, Maddie.
This is my thing.
I'm serious. Just through the break.
I have massive calf muscles.
Mick was telling me how good his calf muscles were, so much so he pulled up his jeans and exposed me to them.
Oh.
And you know what she tried to do? Slip a 20 down my sock. That's
I'm guessing they weren't skinny jeans.
Oh, Maddie, I love your style.
Maddie gets a prize.
Crikey.
You're well suited to
Maddie,
Mick.
Maddie, would you like me to send you a
calf pick?
A CP. A calf pick? Would you like a calf pick?
It's pretty hard to pull them up sometimes, the jeans. They're nice, well-defined calf muscles.
Well, would you like me to send you one of mine and you can do with it what you will?
No, you need to have a pair, definitely.
Well, how?
Oh, well, yeah, he's well, pumping those calf muscles out, Maddie, oh, so right look out.
Maddie, I'll be over in half.
You can bring your kids along too.
Sounding pretty romantic down your end of the pool.
We've just put that picture on Instagram as well, a Kennedy Malloy.
Yes,
calf
do muscle. That. Have a look at my calf muscle. And ladies, careful, adults only.
Stand back.
Don't let, lock up your daughters. These calf muscles are out of control.
It's pretty pumping. Nikki. Hey, Nikki, what do you like?
Hands and butts.
Oh, you're going on a second. You can't be. Now you're hogging it.
Oh, sorry.
Hands or bums?
You've got to choose one, Nikki.
Oh, okay. I'd have to go nice, strong, masculine hands.
Hands.
Really?
Yes.
Hands on your bum.
Yeah, exactly.
Nikki, I'm loving all these girls ringing up.
Her hands. So you want it like workman's hands, like that have been gnarled, that have done an honoured stay
not
work?
Not rough, not rough.
The size
rough.
Of dinner plates, fingers like sausages.
Listen,
what is
no,
it?
No, that's not manly. That's gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
Like Scotty Cam's hands, like
yeah, firm
like
hands,
footballer's hands. You know,
like these. What these ones, which have clearly done an honest day's work.
Never done an honest day's work ever. Those hands.
Look at them.
They're girly hands.
How dare you?
They do. Thank you, Nikki. That's
a little soft.
Interesting to know. Hey, Ken.
Yes.
Tell me what part of a woman's body that you love.
Well, if you look at the woman's inner thigh, not towards the clamage area, but not below the knee, just somewhere in the middle there.
I know what you're talking about.
Like the kind of...
it's quite electric down there.
As long as there's no hail damage, I think it's fair to...
That's very funny. I know what you're saying.
I like that. Good one. Good on you, Ken. Like thanks that, for Ken. Speaking your mind. Greg, what is it for you?
The boobs, I'm sorry.
The boobs. What
don't apologise.
What is it about the boobs?
Always have been, mate, ever since I was a wee little tacker.
Right. Just loved a big set of boobs.
Yes, I have, yeah. Like my dad used to take me in the truck and used to say many, many years ago, tell that lady on the street she's got a nice pair.
Oh, what a great father-son routine you have.
I know that routine.
You can't do that now, so...
I've trained my boys, I've trained to run up to the park and say, my daddy's lonely. And then I run up and go, quick, come.
You have
come
not.
Here, kids. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God. Your children need to go on a program.
Yeah. Boobs, them. Bigger the better, according to Greg.
That's well very interesting, said. Greg. I like the father-son bonding
Represents
thing.
A school of thought we've got out there. Hello, Mitch. What is it?
G'day. Here you go.
What is it? What trips your trigger?
Yeah, look, it's got to be calves and elbows for me.
Calves really?
And elbows?
Yeah.
Elbows?
Jeez.
Yeah, elbows. I love chewing on the end of elbows. I love it.
Chewing on it?
Yeah.
Mate, all right. Get a burger.
I've got a best mate of mine.
Here we go. I hope you're hovering over the dump button here, Dave. Yes, Mitch, keep it clean. What do you got?
He loves armpits. The hairier, the better.
Once you can braid and hang a pot in.
Yes. What's the new thing?
Like
it's coming back.
Like a macrame underarm. Yeah. Well, hello, Mitchell. This is. I've enjoyed this segment up until your call.
I've got
Sarah, what is it? Sarah, what is it?
The neck.
The neck. What about the neck?
Nice, juicy, fat neck.
Again, you've come to the right place. How do you feel about multiple chins? I'm surprised no one's rung in and said multiple chins. Yeah. That was when I was prepared to
Sarah,
put it
are you,
all on the line.
You sound like, have you been through the ringer and you're just ready to take in?
Given up.
No, I've been a big fan of Mick Malloy for a lot of
years. Oh, targeting.
Here we go.
Targeting.
Right, you know my virginity's up for grabs. So.
Oh, Sarah.
I thought you were trying to find it again.
Well, it is. It's a kind of boring thing.
I'll have to have an intervention.
Give Sarah a prize.
What about $100 gold class voucher for you, Sarah?
Hello. Go and see 50 Shades of Grey.
There you go.
think of my neck.
Good stuff.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm getting hot and bothered now.
Wow. Oof.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
They've read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Kennedy Malloy's Showbiz Report.
Somebody bit Beyonce on the face.
What? Beyonce.
Jay-Z and Beyonce were having a party.
This is unbelievable. Who was there?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
Because this is what happened, right? She's having a party And some bird called Tiffany Haddish, who's now got some profile for some bizarre reason, but I don't know why. She walks up and she goes, "Can you believe this bitch just bit Beyonce?" That's how she speaks. And she says, "Beyonce's at the bar." So I said to Beyonce, "Did she really bite you, girl?"
What you talking about?
She was like, "Yeah." I was like, "She gonna get her ass beat tonight." And she was like, "Tiffany, no, don't do that. That bitch on drugs. She's not even drunk. That bitch on drugs. She's not like that all the time. Just chill, girl."
So, sounds like a really wild episode of Oprah.
Wow.
What happened? So what's happened? Who is it? Well, they haven't named them.
They haven't named them. Wow. So these are people who claim it's not them. These are people
these
who
people come out
were
and say
at the party.
It's not me.
Meryl Streep, Natalie Portman, Julia Roberts, Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Anne Hathaway, Sandra Bullock. I mean, I could go on because everyone was at this goddamn
well,
party.
Sandra Bullock wouldn't have bitten anyone, not with Korean penis all over her face.
No, that's right. And that goes back to an episode the other day. Yeah. Listen to the podcast of Kennedy Malloy to find that out.
That'll make sense.
You know who I think did it?
Who?
Lena Dunham.
Oh, really?
You know, she's the star of Girls.
Yeah.
Quite controversial. She's claiming she didn't.
You know what you're looking for?
What?
The next person who goes to a party with one of those buckets on her head. You know, that means you're not
like
allowed to bite anyone. Anyone who goes, "Yeah, you can come, but
yeah.
Oh, come on, you can't."
I
so
really
it's process of elimination now. So
it's
everyone
now
has to process.
Chrissy Teigen, who's married to John Legend, she's the one who's really like frantic and so desperate to tell people.
This won't last.
It won't last.
If everyone in the room knows who it is.
But that's a pretty
amazing
thing.
The fact that Meryl Streep had to say it's not me. Was Mike Tyson there?
I don't know. Well, there you go.
He's a dirty rotten biter from way back.
He is a dirty rotten
biter. You can't bite Beyonce.
No, she's American royalty.
She is.
Why can't they just get
face.
An imprint of the teeth marks?
Yeah.
Do a mold.
Forensic on the case. Okay, next bit. Kendall Jenner quitting TV. Oh, my God. Is she leaving the Kardashians?
Oh, no.
Yes, she is, because she's a top model and she's gone, "I reckon it's pretty stuff being on this show."
She bit Beyonce.
Yeah.
I reckon.
That's
good.
You know how I know this show's jumped the shark? I'm not watching it anymore. I'm not watching the Kardashians.
You're on.
They've all got up the duff now and we've gone through all the drama. Oh, I can't get pregnant. I can't get pregnant. Oops. Hello.
I'm worried about
there you.
There
you go. Have a baby.
You're off the Kardashians. You're off Facebook.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm a changed woman.
You're gonna go mad.
Which one's Kendall? She's the...
Kendall is the model.
The model one.
Which I said, Dave,
Keep
if you were listening.
Dave. Kendall Jenner.
You're distracted.
Yeah,
she's okay. She changed sexes. She used to be...
Oh,
that's Caitlin.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Dad,
he
not
probably, he
Kendall.
He probably bit her. Did he bite
Caitlin.
Her? She, he could have bitten her.
No.
That's what he's thinking.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Are you interested?
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie has a new boyfriend, apparently.
Hang on, I haven't got to get over the biter yet. So who's bitten?
No, we're off the biter.
Someone's bitten Beyonce.
We're off the
biter. Is this like a Who Shot JR?
Yeah.
It is like Who Shot JR.
Who bit Beyonce? Solange. So I've seen her go off. She's like, cuckoo.
I'm just impressed you knew Solange's name.
Oh, yeah, because I remember when...
In the lift.
Yeah, someone farted in the lift and she went...
Pardon me, but I am now talking about Angela Jolie. Would you mind...
You've moved on, haven't you?
I've moved on many ways.
Yeah.
She announced her divorce from her husband Brad Pitt in September 2016.
Yep.
Since then, she hasn't really got any.
Nah. She hasn't. Well, what's happened? Is it? Hopefully there's been a change.
Here's
was
one
that
of the
it?
Problems.
Is that your story?
No. Here's one of the things. She's
what?
Too skinny. She's too thin.
Okay.
And I don't think a real man wants that in him.
You know how I like him, Jane, but, I mean, we can't go into it here.
We did before.
We'll get into trouble.
Anyway,
again.
She's dating apparently
who?
He's a real estate agent,
Isn't
an older-looking man, handsome, older-looking man who's a real estate agent Hollywood.
She would have been, that would have been a real estate agent. She's showing you a house with 8 kids' bedrooms.
Yeah.
That's why she
That's
loves
the only
him.
Person she could be with. Okay, now you've got the front bar tonight.
We're done. We're wrapping up.
We are done.
I have to go. Please, the engine's running. I'm off to film the front bar. 8:30 tonight, Channel 7. Special gift,
watching.
Jeff Kennett.
Oh, yes.
Newly
okay.
minted president of the Hawthorn Football Club. My calf is now
Your calf
on
is on Instagram.
Girls,
yeah.
you
I
need
took
to get
the photo,
a look at
by
this.
The way.
Yes, and people will be insanely jealous. And it's actual size. That's a real calf. That has not... That
hasn't been photoshopped.
No silicone. No. That's the real deal. No Botox. That
sounds pretty good.
What you see is what you get.
That's all right. You're going to be in Adelaide tomorrow because
I'm going to do the show from Adelaide. I'm over there for the Tigers.
Fabulous Denise Scott is also joining us.
Oh, great.
Tomorrow, which would be terrific.
Very big show all round.
Yes, exactly.
I can't wait. So what about yourself? What have you got on tonight? Who's going to see Lawrence Mooney tonight?
Oh, a bunch of us are going.
The gang are going to go and see Lawrence Mooney. And I'll just be holding down the fort, you know.
Yeah, you better get
an amazing woman,
I know. Find out who bit Beyonce.
I'll be on the case. I'll find out by tomorrow.
I want answers.
That's it.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.